glorious sights. This is the established practice that in the Greek liturgy the priest prays for all the bishops and for the metropolitan, in natis ad ritual Graecorum, p. 63. Moretus, after establishing the fact that we mentioned earlier, that in the Latin Church a commemoration of the archbishop is not made in the Mass even during a vacancy in a suffragan church, adds that, this however is not the practice of the Greeks and other Orientals. These name the Patriarch and the Metropolitan. In Natis ad Gaventum, Volume 1, p. 539, Roman edition. This practice is not absolutely forbidden to them in the admonition in question, but only in the cases when the Metropolitan or Patriarch is schismatic or heretic. This is in accordance with rules which were established and accepted before the correction of the eucologian was undertaken. When this practice was dealt with in the Congregation of the Holy Office in 1673, the following decree was published. At the General Congregation of the Holy Office on June 7, 1673, the question was posed whether a priest in the town of Lebanon during Mass might name the Patriarch of the Armenians, who is schismatic, with the purpose of praying for him. The petition for this concession was made with great urgency in order by this means to attract the people to a greater friendship for the Latins. The sacred congregation responded that it could not be done and should be utterly forbidden. In the same congregation on June 20, 1674, there was read a letter of the nuncio at Florence written on April 10, 1674, sent to the sacred congregation for the propagation of the faith and forwarded by this congregation to the sacred congregation of the Holy Office. It was decided that a reply should be sent to the nuncio informing him that on the subject of prayer in the liturgy for the Patriarch of the Armenians, the sacred congregation abided by its decrees published in 1673, that is, that it could not be done and should be utterly forbidden. 23. In harmony with this decision is another very similar decree of the congregation on the corrected edition of the Coptic Missal made in 1732. Among other disputed questions the following was proposed, whether, and in what way, the words in which the priest commemorates the patriarch, bishop, etc. are to be corrected. This was the answer which was given. A rubric should be placed at the beginning of the missal to advise and inform the priest on points relating to the celebration of Mass. Here should be placed a special rubric on the commemoration of the Roman pontiff as well as of the patriarch and bishop, provided that they are in union with the Roman Church. This rubric should be consulted in its own place. Moreover, heretics and schismatics are subject to the censure of major excommunication by the law of Can. Deliga. 23, Quest. 5, and Can. Nulli. 5, District 19. But the sacred canons of the Church forbid public prayer for the excommunicated as can be seen in Chap. Anobis, 2, and Chap. Sacris on the sentence of excommunication. Though this does not forbid prayer for their conversion, still such prayer must not take the form of proclaiming their names in the solemn prayer during the sacrifice of the Mass. This fully accords with the ancient practice, as may be seen in Issus in 4. Sententia. District 12, Seconds. 15. For that purpose it is sufficient to beseech to lead back the wanderers to the way of salvation and to the bosom of Holy Mother Church, as is expounded by Silvius, in 3. Part. Dia Mei, Volume 4, Quest. 83, Art. 1, Q. U. 9. Here is the teaching of St. Thomas himself in 4. Cent. District 18, Quest. 2, Art. 1, in answer to the first difficulty. Prayer can be offered for the excommunicated, although this should be done apart from prayers which are offered for members of the Church. This does not necessarily involve a confusion of the Church's laws which exclude from the roster of its faithful followers the names of those who have cut themselves off from it. In forbidding public prayers to be offered for them, the Church definitely rules out commemorating them in the celebration of Mass. Very relevant is the view of them. Card. Bellarmine. Someone will ask whether at the present time it is permissible to offer the sacrifice of the Mass for the conversion of heretics or the infidels. The reason for doubt is that the entire liturgy of the Latin Church, as it is now performed, relates to the faithful, as is clear from the prayers of the offertory both before and during the canon. I answer that I consider it permissible, provided that no addition is made to the Mass, but the sacrifice is applied to the conversion of the infidels or heretics only by the intention of the priest. For this is the practice of pious and learned men, with whom we cannot disagree, and it is not forbidden by the Church. Controversarium, Volume 3, B.K. 6, the Missi, Chap. 6. Should the King be commemorated? 24. In this first admonition, however, there is no mention at all of commemorating or saying a prayer for an emperor or king and his whole palace and army. But since this matter is very closely connected with the other matters mentioned in the first admonition, we judge it appropriate to append the following remarks. 25. All the eucologies, whether manuscript or printed, which are earlier than the revision of Lentius, included prayers for the emperor, the king, his palace, and army. In the May 1, 1746, session of the Congregation for the Correction of the Eucologian, it was disputed whether these prayers should be removed. It was decided, with our subsequent approval, that they should be left in the canon or the liturgy. But since the Greeks of old used to offer these prayers at the prothesis as well, but later removed them, it was added that they are not to be said during the prothesis or preparation. For it seemed pointless to say such prayers at the prothesis when they were already being said in the canon, or liturgy. The newly corrected edition of the Eucologian has treated the matter in just this way. 26. We ourselves in our treatise The Sacrificio Missi, Sect. 1, No. 221, have already discussed the commemoration in the canon of the emperor or king, as is customary in some districts belonging to their temporal realm. Cardinal Bonner provides evidence that in many Latin churches the name of the king is commemorated in the canon, Re. Liturgica. B.K. 2, Chap. 11, No. 4. Furthermore, Martin in his work De Antiqui Ecclesiae Ritibus, B.K. 1, Chap. 4, Art. 8, No. 9, after adducing the appropriate evidence, comes to the following conclusion. From the unchanging tradition of the Church as it was received from the Apostles, it is certain that prayers for kings and princes have always been offered during the sacred mysteries. It is quite evident that the writer is here relying on the words of the Apostle, 1 Tim 2, commanding that prayers and petitions be made for kings and all who are in high places, as well as on the text of the Apostolic Constitutions. We also beseech you, Lord, for the king and for those who are in high places and for all the army, that our affairs may prosper, and let us pray for kings and those of exalted power, that our affairs may enjoy peace. Cotelerius, Patrum Apostolicorum, Col. 1, B.K. 8, Chap. 12 and 13. On this point Gregorius II may be consulted, De Liturgia Rome. Pont. B.K. 4, Chap. 3, No. 4. However, it may be with the dispute conducted between Belucius and Lupus, on the date when the emperor's name was replaced by that of the king in the lands subject to the sway of kings, a question treated at great length by Lupus, can. 10, Dictatus S. Greg. 7, it is sufficiently established that in the Latin Church a commemoration of the king is made in those districts in which it has long been an accepted custom, or where a concession of the Apostolic See has allowed it, as Moretus remarks, Ad Gaventum, Volume 1, Pint. 1, p. 539, No. 6 of the Roman edition. 27. But among the Oriental peoples this practice of commemorating the king in the sacred liturgy is common, as may be seen in the liturgies of the Armenians, Copts, Ethiopians and Syrians. But if it should be asked how it can be endured where it is certain that the kings for whom they pray and whom they commemorate in the liturgy are infidels, then Card. But Armine would reply, as in fact he replied in the chapter quoted above, that it is by no means forbidden by the nature of the object, as theologians say, to pray during Mass even for infidels, since the sacrifice of the cross has been offered for all men. And of course St. Thomas teaches that although St. Augustine wrote in his work De Origine Animae that the sacrifice is offered only for those who are members of Christ, his statement must be understood to include both those who are already members of Christ and those who are able to become such, in 4. Centont. District 12, Quest. 2, Art. 2, Quest. 2, to the 4th. Therefore, the cardinal adds that the whole question should be assessed in terms of what the Church has forbidden. It is certain from the nature of the object that if the Church has not prohibited it, it is permissible to offer prayers for those men, that is, the infidels. although there is such a prohibition against the excommunicated and so against heretics and schismatics, there is none against infidels, and these are not bound by excommunication. This is enough, he says, to allow commemoration of them during Mass and even the offering of the sacrifice for them in accordance with the evident tradition in this matter and with the apostolic constitution. But someone may ask whether it is permissible if the king is an infidel, as in Greece, where the Turk is ruler, and as in India, Japan and China where pagans rule, for priests there to offer prayers expressly for the king. I answer that I consider it permissible provided that the king is not excommunicated as are heretic kings,